Francis might have written our first reading after absorbing the Wall Street Journal's story about the many luxury stores opening in international airports, a story of March of this year, or about luxury companies posting double-digit growth in the past 2 years, a report from Morgan Stanley. The gulf between rich and poor rose and broke. A chasm, not just financial and economic, but attitudinal and moral. It is, the gospel says, a great chasm, established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours. What is this impassable chasm? For a philosophical yet mystical explanation, read the debate between Don Juan and the devil in the Don Juan and Hell scene in George Bernard Shaw's play, Man and Superman. The gulf, Don Juan asserts, divides the angelic and diabolical temperaments. Those of the angelic temperament choose to engage in the search for yet greater truth through what Shaw calls contemplation, the human quest of a higher order of humanity, the Superman as the evolutionary ideal for all humanity. Those of the diabolical temperament, by contrast, live in self-preoccupation and choose a life of luxury and enjoyment for themselves on earth and in hell, in complete indifference to others. If we overlay Ignatius's meditation on choosing Jesus over Satan on this Shavian model, the fit is surprisingly close. Those of the angelic temperament, Ignatius says, choose to follow Jesus. The Superman, toward union with the divine, Jesus' own self, an evolutionary movement toward our most authentic selves, our super selves, a movement that seeks justice and mercy for all. Those with the diabolical temperament, by contrast, choose to follow Satan, whom Ignatius calls the enemy of our human nature, starting with self-regard, magnified by the congratulation of others, and moving toward full aggrandizement of self and other selves without regard to evolutionary growth, much less to justice or mercy for all. This is the paradigm our gospel presents. Today our church celebrates the World Day of Migrants and Refugees, a day of remembrance observed by the church since 1914. Pope Francis says of this observance, the most economically advanced societies are witnessing a growing trend toward extreme individualism, which, combined with a utilitarian mentality and reinforced by the media, is producing a globalization of indifference. In this scenario, migrants, refugees, displaced persons, and victims of trafficking have become emblems of exclusion. The Pope continues, they are often looked down upon and considered the source of all society's ills. That attitude is an alarm bell, warning of the moral decline we will face if we continue to give ground to the throwaway culture. End quote. To keep our reflection real, let's name a few names. The people of Yemen, where I lived for 2 years, victims of a proxy war involving the Saudis and supported by US diplomacy and arms sales. The people on our southern border who cannot remain in their home countries and cannot enter ours. Migrants and refugees displaced by urban growth, notably in Washington, on 14th Street around T Street and the U Street corridor, on the waterfront by Main Avenue and in Anacostia, and the people of Catholic institutions who have been abused, ignored, and abandoned by the bishop class that refuses to call its own to accountability, even as it lives lives of privilege and even luxury. I often ask myself why our executive branch can reject refugees and migrants and tolerate other injustices, even as it claims to embrace Christianity. My own answer is that evangelical Protestant theology, which differs from Catholic theology on key points, offers strong support to the current administration. I offer you the following in broad strokes. It's right enough at this high level. If you want me to be more nuanced, you have to give me more time. Evangelical Protestant theology is grounded in the Lutheran and Reformed doctrine, of which two essential theses are these. First, sola gratia, grace alone. We human beings are saved, that is, allowed to enter heaven, through God's grace alone. We are saved at that moment of our lives when we acknowledge Jesus as our personal Savior. Second, the total depravity of each human person. This thesis says that we cannot perform good deeds apart from grace, and so cannot contribute to our own salvation. The saved are expected to avoid sin and do good, but credit for doing good remains with God and makes no contribution to salvation. To be fair, we must acknowledge that Protestant denominations run hospitals and schools, and they work for justice. But the theological incentive for good deeds, at least in evangelicalism, is different from what our Catholic faith requires of us. We Catholics, like evangelicals, believe that our salvation is God's gift to us through God's grace. But unlike evangelicals, we believe that though our salvation begins at a moment of personal conversion, it is an evolutionary process lasting a lifetime in which we cooperate with God's grace through our good deeds. In other words, we work out our own salvation, to quote St. Paul, through deeds that are constitutive of our faith and our salvation, not acts tangential to our salvation. So, for Catholics working for justice and compassion for migrants at our southern border, affirming the rights of people of color, especially in the wake of slavery, and welcoming gay and lesbian people, this work is constitutive of our faith and our salvation, as is challenging those in authority when we see injustice and intolerance. Evangelical Protestantism, unlike Catholicism, rejects any challenge to those in authority by quoting St. Paul in Romans chapter 13. Quote, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. Whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. If you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers are agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." End quote. All this said, I cannot account for why evangelical Protestantism makes the claims it does about race, national identity, citizenship, and immigration, since I see no theological grounds for these claims. In any event, we Catholics have, as Abraham reminds us, Moses and the prophets, and now we have Jesus and his church's teaching. These readings call you and me again to follow Jesus, to fight under his banner for justice and compassion, for the future of humanity, for Jesus' kingdom here on earth, and with him in the next life. He arms us for this fight in this Eucharist. Let's allow him to transform our hearts yet again, to strengthen us and to encourage us, so that we can leave here to fight one more week under his banner, till we meet here again next week.